This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Marjorie Dannenfelser, head of the Susan B. Anthony List, a group looking to elect pro-life women to positions in our local, state, and federal governments. We want to get her thoughts today on a debate that's brewing at several state levels, and that's whether legislation ought to be passed into law requiring women to see an ultrasound before they elect to go forward with an abortion. We also want to learn more about some of the specific races that the Susan B. Anthony List is getting involved in this year's midterm campaigns. And Marjorie, always great to have you with us.
I'm great to be with you. Thank you, Greg.
Well, we saw this debate in Oklahoma over whether or not women should have to see over an ultrasound what exactly is growing inside their womb before they decide to have an abortion. Mm-hmm. The governor vetoed it. Overwhelming majorities tried to override that, but it fell one vote short, I believe, in the state Senate. Now a very similar bill is headed to the desk of Florida Governor Charlie Crist. What do you make of this particular approach to the legislation in order to force women to see the ultrasound? How significant is that?
It is extremely significant. It's one of the reasons that we've seen the polling dramatically embrace life among women over the last 10 years. It's why one of the sonograms have revealed what it is that we're talking about, and that is why women's groups like NARAL and Planned Parenthood are so strongly opposing it. They know the consequence of this full information. And, you know, for a group of folks who are concerned about full information, which they usually are, you would think that it would be better to inform women rather than to oppose legislation that would fully inform them.
Marjorie, you mentioned that seeing the sonogram allows women to see what it is, the child growing within them. Talk about some of the stories you've heard about women perhaps who were planning to have an abortion but saw that and then came to a different conclusion.
Well, I'll tell you my own story. I was not in that particular instance because I did not face a crisis pregnancy, but I was very strongly pro-choice. And I've heard the same story with many, especially members of Congress, women running for Congress that were articulating why they held the position that they did. It was, you know, either they were pro-choice or they were ambivalent or they didn't really care. But when it came, when they became mothers and they saw that that beautiful picture for the very first time, to look at that and say this is anything but a human being was impossible. Not only that, but to fail to protect that life in the womb and to break that bond between mother and child would be a horrible thing to do with your leadership. So for Crist to veto this legislation, and what goes along with this legislation is to reject taxpayer funding of abortion and health care, it's a double whammy for him. For him to make that terrible mistake would put him along the tracks of the implosion of candidacies like we've seen in the last few weeks, like that of incumbent Alan Mollahan in West Virginia, who voted the wrong way on the funding issue as well. So it would be a huge, enormous mistake for him to do so, and it looks like he's going to.
Marjorie, as you mentioned, several of the pro-choice groups are strongly opposed to this legislation. I'm not exactly sure what arguments they're using, but one I've heard that is a little bit leery of this legislation is it's essentially forcing a medical procedure to some extent on a woman who may not volunteer to have one. How would you respond to that concern?
I would say that more information about what's going on in her body, the better. And anyone who wants to deny that that is a positive thing is not looking out for the best interests of women. There is no question that more information is better. I don't think that anybody wants to find out later that what they did was something that they regret. I think they want to know during the time. They want to be fully informed about what's going on. You know, it's an odd place in history when a women's movement says that women need to be protected from information. Otherwise, they might make a bad choice if we give them information. I say they can handle it. I think women are a lot stronger than they do.
We've talked about two states where this is being debated and being advanced. Do you sense that this is the type of issue that's going to be debated in state after state around the country?
Yes, and it has been. And there is a federal bill as well that Congressman Chris Smith from New Jersey has introduced. And I think the timing of this, it's all about timing, but the timing of this in Florida could be a deal killer for Crist. And he says he's been getting all of this ginned up grassroots pressure for him to veto the bill. Well, what will happen if he does veto this bill will make his head spin, and he will wish that he could take it back. But we'll inform all of our members in Florida if he makes that bad choice. And the one who stands to win is Mark Rubio without question.
We're talking with Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony list, and the SBA list has taken aim at some congressional members who voted in favor of the health care plan when they claim to be pro-life. There are also some races for the U.S. Senate that they are taking an interest in. Marjorie, what's at the top of the priority list, whether it's getting someone elected or getting someone removed from office?
It is a double whammy, and the name of this project is Votes Have Consequences, and we have targeted a whole host of incumbents on the defeating side of the roster here. They are at the top of the list, a handful of pro-life Democrats in the House. We're 2-for-2 so far. Bart Stupak has pretty much been forced into retirement because of the incredible backlash. And Congressman Alan Mollahan, a 28-year incumbent, had a pro-life challenge in his primary, and we were very, very involved in that primary, and he's been defeated. So far, 2-for-2. We've got a few more. We have a statewide race that's shaping up in Indiana. Congressman Ellsworth voted also the wrong way on this bill, claiming to be pro-life but willing to fund abortion through it. And his opponent is Senator Dan Coats, who is a former senator, now running again, just an incredible human being and a very strong champion for life. So we will be working very hard in Indiana. Two other races that are top of the list are two senatorial candidates running women, one in Carly Fiorina out in California. Sarah Palin and I are working very hard on that one. And then Carly Fiorina, and she would run, if she wins her primary, she would have the ultimate matchup from our perspective in the nation. Carly Fiorina, pro-life, versus Barbara Boxer, pro-choice, doesn't even come close to describing what she is on abortion. The other race is in Nevada. We've endorsed Sue Loudon, who is a convert on the issue, which I am too, so I understand the depth of her commitment. And the most exciting thing that I can think of from now until November will be to defeat Harry Reid with a pro-life woman.
What type of resources are you pouring into this, and how active do you plan to be in these races?
Well, overall, on the Senate races, we're spending $3 million. We are designating $1 million for the Nevada race, no matter who wins that primary. So we will, we will assess where the needs are all along the way. Right now, we're very focused on the Fiorina primary out in California, because there's a very, very bad primary candidate in Tom Campbell. We really want her to win. That's June 8th, so that's really coming up fast. So we're working on that. And then, the rest of it we'll spend on these House seats. We'll spend another $1 million on those. And then the other part of it will be just our general fundraising and for pro-life candidates plan. We'll spend about $750,000 on that. So our grassroots folks know what is at stake now. The life issue is top of mind. Our membership has doubled in the last year, and our advocacy to Congress has increased by 600%. So that's good news. We've got the wind at our sails.
Marjorie, we'll be watching, and hopefully we'll be back in touch soon. Thanks so much for being with us.
Greg, thanks so much. It's great talking to you.
Oh, same here as always. Marjorie Dannenfelser of the Susan B. Anthony List. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.